Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 48. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
Hello, we're back.
Yeah, a little bit late this month. My fault.
It happens. Well, my fault as well. I just watched the movies a couple hours ago.
Yeah. So I guess you weren't really ahead of me. Like I watched them on Sunday and then on Monday. So I wasn't exactly like jumping through. But normally we've watched them about a week before, and episodes should come out on the first. It won't. Sorry. But we do have a double feature of vampire films, specifically straight-to-video 1991 vampire films, and we will get to that shortly, but we watched a little bit, not a whole lot. I don't think either of us watched a ton, but Jeff, you have seen, I know at least one new movie. Because you and your wife told me about it. So
yeah. So strangely, since last time, I don't know, a few weeks now, I've seen a ton of things, like all the Oscar movies, a bunch of other shit. And I don't know how, because I've spent most of the last month watching The Shield. But yes. I'm not gonna like keep you here all fucking night telling you every movie I've seen. And so I figured I'd just stick to the two theatrical releases I saw in the last month. How's that?
Sure.
And the one you hinted at, I'll get to first, I guess, which is Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney.
New hotness in Hollywood.
Yeah, I was on to her before everybody. I just didn't know if it was safe to say. Like I've been watching her for a few years now. I'm like, does anyone else that she's hot? Now everybody is on with the right wing apparently thinks that she's on their side, or I don't know what. Her boobs are
on some their side.
Some sort of statement against woke. And
I mean, boobs are boobs.
Like I don't think it means anything, but yeah, I like her. I mean, I'm a fan of Euphoria, so that's where I first saw her. But
okay.
But I was interested in this movie. Here's the reason. Like, I am not into like the religious horror as much as like I think you. I think you.
Me.
Like,
yeah, I'm into religious horror. Yeah.
But one, because of her, and two, because this was her reteaming with director Michael Mohan, who they did The Voyeurs together. The movie we reviewed.
Yep.
And I thought that was such a fun, like, return of the erotic thriller with that gets really wild with crazy twists. And I'm like, well, I have to see what these two are up to next, you know? I know that this director, like, gets genre and wants to, like, deliver the goods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do. I thought Immaculate was a lot of fun. I think you will really enjoy it. You could probably guess from the title. But it's about a young nun played by Sweeney who she goes to, I don't know, somewhere in Rome or some convent. And things seem weird. She gets pregnant out of nowhere. And you know, things get weirder still. You think you know what's going on, but you don't.
Okay.
It's funny because, like, you know, like my coworker, he said to me, he's like, yeah, it's a movie where like she gets the devil in her or whatever. I was like, I said the same thing I just said to you. I'm like, you think you know that, but you don't. And I guess maybe that's like a spoiler for me to say, and I won't expand on that any further. But like, I think it goes in a surprising direction. It has a twist that I think will like. I think the more religious you are, the more it could offend you. And there were people that were very offended by this movie on Twitter, and Neon, the studio, like just put that as part of their marketing campaign. They were just taking quotes from people on Twitter who were offended by the movie. It builds to like a really fun and crazy climax. Again, like a pretty cool, kind of cheesy twists.
Okay.
That I appreciated. It has, you know, some gory moments. It kind of, like, again, this guy plays in a genre and he hits the notes you want him to hit. The thing is, at least for me, because I came into this like as a fan of the Voyeurs, and you remember how that like goes, like later in that movie, it's like twist after twist,
yes,
after twist, and like how crazy can we make it? And I just, for me, I think for some people this movie does that, but for me it was just like, all right, you get the one twist, and then like you get this crazy finale, but I just expected it to go somewhere more, or like I just expected it for like one more surprise. And I don't get that, but it's a fun time. Like, it's not like, oh, you need to rush out and see this, but I know that you'll probably check it out, you know, on demand or whatever, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's an easy recommend.
I almost left work early on Monday to go see it, and Late Night with the Devil, and work just like overwhelmed me, and I just could not get out of there early, so... it's definitely one that is on my list to check out, though.
So, unfortunately, my theater didn't get Late Night with the Devil, but it's coming to Shudder in a couple weeks, so I plan to check it out then. I honestly think there's a good chance it gets featured on Joe Bob this season, but who knows? I'll probably be watching it the day it comes out anyways on Shudder, so...
Yeah. So I did not realize it was coming to Shudder. So that makes me feel good. Like then I won't go and spend some funds on it for the theater. I'll just wait for it to hit to be like me in the theater by myself, which is always neat. But
yeah,
it's always a little creepy too.
I heard it's really fun and stuff, but I couldn't go see it. And but again, the wait is it comes out April 19th. On Shudder, so
it's only a couple
literally
weeks.
Like yeah
and I figure Immaculate also will probably hit streaming soon. It will probably be like a $20 stream at first,
yeah,
a few weeks later it'll be six, so
yeah and once it's six I think you're gonna enjoy it. I really do. I don't think I've seen a lot of horror fans that came out of Immaculate being like, oh, that sucked, but almost everyone seems to like it, so
I always am perplexed by people who are very religious, who go into these films that
what
are
do you think?
Like, of course it's going to be blasphemous. That's what they're going for. They're not telling a story about Mary. Like,
I think when you see it, you'll get it. I can't, like, it's almost like you could figure it out if I say too much. So yeah, you'll get it. Wait, like,
I will see it soon enough.
You will know why people were upset by it. But I think most people who are horror fans were kind of like tickled by where it went. It's pretty fun. The other movie I saw came out like a week before Immaculate. It's called Love Lies Bleeding, which is like Google lists it as like a thriller slash romance, which is, yeah, that's what I would say. It's like a crime.
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. She's not really the lead. Like, it's kind of her and Katie M. O'Brien are the leads.
Okay.
And basically, Kristen Stewart's living in this small town in the Southwest, and she runs a gym, or she's like, you know, a manager of a gym. She meets up with this bodybuilder played by Katie O'Brien. They fall in love. But Kristen Stewart's family has some bad elements. Bad things happen, and it reminds me a lot of the Coen brothers, and I'm not the only person to make this comparison, but like kind of regular people brushing up against criminal elements and getting in way over their head. That's what this movie is. It kind of most reminded me of their movie Blood Simple from the 80s. I think that's like the easiest comparison, but a lot of Coen brother movies are like this too, like Fargo. But so you get the idea, like Kristen Stewart's family becomes a problem. They get in over their heads. They're kind of on the run and this and that. And what makes this, I think, neat is it has just like a very specific flavor. like it's set in like 1989. It's kind of around that whole gym culture that we've covered on here. Or yeah, everyone's got the bad hair. Yep. There's just a specificity to some of it. Like, Kristen Stewart's dad is played by Ed Harris, and he's rocking like this bald head with super long hair. hanging on the sides. So just picture this super long rock haircut, but the bald head on top. And he collection, like, there's just a weird specificity to all of it. And I this is a big recommend for me. I think it's, you know, one of the better movies that have come out so far this year. The only like caveat to that is, like, I think some people won't love the ending, but I did. And I guess to explain it without spoiling anything, it kind of for a second goes into the fantastical. And I think just that just type of thing rubs people the wrong way. Sometimes they're like, wait, was I supposed to take that literally, or was that a metaphor? And it's like, who cares? I don't know. Like, it was a funny, weird, neat thing that happens at the end. And I just think it will rub some people the wrong way. And they'll be like, wait, was that supposed to be real? And it's like, I don't know, man. Take it however you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two. Have you heard about The Love Lies Bleeding?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was more horror-ish, but that still sounds cool.
No, it's, I'd say, straight up, you know, crime thriller, but there is, like, gore. Like, there is pretty shocking gore. Because, again, you're like, don't even think you're in that genre. You're, in my opinion, you're really not. But, yeah, gore does happen, and it's pretty spectacular.
Into it.
Yeah, and other than that, like, I have been watching a bunch of stuff, but like I said, I've been mostly watching The Shield. Not much to say about that, except I still think it's a great show, but, like, God, it is... That show is, like, so intense that it almost, like, makes me feel nauseated. Like, you watched The Shield, didn't you?
Yes. On your recommendation.
It's just so dark, and the whole second half of the series... You go from, like, these four friends that are, like, always somehow getting out of a jam to, like, these four friends who are always suspicious of each other and trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
And so, like, even in the scenes when there's not, like, crazy shit going down, there's, like, this underlying tension that just, like, you're so on edge the whole time. And this is with me even knowing how it, like, ends. I just don't remember all the details leading up to the end. That I'm just like, oh God, this is so awful. Like, you know, like, like Shane thinks he's friends with them again, but they're trying to kill him. But he's thinking maybe that they are trying to kill him, but he's right. And you're just like, oh my God, dude, I can't, like, just a scene with them, like, standing in a room saying nothing to each other is just so intense that you're just like, oh fuck, man. It's been a fun rewatch. Like, I've been going back to it every night, like the fucking Bible. Driving my wife nuts. She's just like, can we please stop watching the show? I'm like, there's five episodes left. Once we get, like, that's about where we're at. We're in the last season.
Nice. You're almost done.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a fun rewatch. But again, it's a well-made show, but good Lord, is it, like, tough to watch some of it. Do you have that reaction when you saw it, or do you even remember?
Yeah, I do. Like, I remember, like, the first four, like the group of assholes that is always, like, getting out of some shit that they got themselves into, trying to cover up their crimes, but always kind of skirting out. And then, yeah, the back half of the series,
it's
kind of
so that,
like, dark. they're at each other's necks, but, like, behind the scenes, like,
yeah,
very tense.
Yeah, it is one of the most intentional. Like, I think the only other show that even comes close to in intensity is, like, Breaking Bad, maybe. But this goes for broke in every episode in a way that Breaking Bad doesn't. And like, also always bringing up, like, super stomach-churning, like, subject matter. There's almost, like, an edgelord quality to it.
Where, yeah.
Because it was the early days of the, like, prestige cable. And they were, like, pushing what you could do on basic cable, and it is more upsetting than most things you'd watch on HBO. It's just, like, you know, forced sexual assault, you know, Acevedo having to suck a dick, and that's, like, not even close to, like, how bad some of it is. Like, there's a new case every week, at least, that's, you're just like, ew, like, oh my God. Anyways, briefly touch on that, I guess, because that is part of what I've been watching.
Gets dark.
Yeah. How about you?
I did not watch a lot, but I did watch another episode of Shogun. That show continuing to ramp up there. Seems to be getting good word of mouth on it too. People seem to really be liking it. So what I've seen of it so far, excellent.
There's what, two episodes or?
Yeah, just two episodes now. And it's you know, what I explained last time. You know, all the Japanese characters speak in Japanese, like they. So like, now when the English characters speak English and Portuguese, they speak in English. That's and so like we can understand them, and there's sometimes a translator that will work intermediary between the two. Yeah, so like any basically any Western characters are voiced in English, and then all the Japanese characters are voiced in Japanese, and it's interesting in that way because there's like a lot of subtitles on the screen. So very happy that people are enjoying it though, because sometimes people are like, I don't want to read when I watch TV.
Well, a show like that too, you have to like turn off your subtitles because then otherwise you're going to have two subtitles going at the same
time. Oh yeah, you would. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you. I watch a lot of stuff with the subtitles on. So like when something is doing that, I'm just like, I guess I'm turning them off because I'm just going to, there's going to be a total mess all over my screen.
Yeah, you're going to have the closed captioning and then the actual subtitles is going to get messy. But yeah, that show's great. High quality. I did not realize it was based on a series of books, so that was fascinating. It is seemingly where I'm at, and I'm only two episodes in. Like it is, you're starting to see like the political kind of behind the scenes working between the different factions, and like that's neat. So that's that's where people are like, oh, it's like Game of Thrones, except you know it's way more grounded than Game of Thrones
because politics. Politics in an unusual setting, or you know what I mean, like
yes,
as I didn't know it was a series of books. I thought it was a book, but as far as I understand, at least the series is only meant to be a mini series. Like that's it. Like once you get to the end of however many episodes
it'll be done.
As I understand, yeah.
Okay,
I could be wrong.
I got my word for it. I got an ad from. It's like, hey, like do you want to read the books that Shogun is based off of? And like, I was like, no, not really, but I don't have time for that. But I did not realize they were based on a book or book. So,
and I do believe it has been adapted before, but I could be wrong. So I'm no expert on Shogun. I'm just telling you things that have come to me through osmosis.
It's very good television, especially if you are interested in kind of like the setting and that time frame of history. So
I keep telling her we're going to get to that. The thing is, any time I've tried to watch any TV show in the last month that's not The Shield, I'm just like, well, no, we have to go back to finish The Shield, even though I know how that.
Finish The Shield first. All that other stuff is still going to be there.
We tried to watch, I put on the first episode of Problem, which is a sci-fi series that's Netflix now.
One I flagged, yeah.
Seemed interesting, but you know, I got like 10, 15 minutes into it. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to, like, I have too many plates spinning, so.
Yeah, so, especially when you're like deep into one series, like wrap that one
up. It's like you're reading a book, you know, you're reading a book and you just want to finish, see where, you know. Yeah.
The one new movie, and I guess it's not really new, but the one came out last year, Suitable Flesh. I believe you watched this already and we talked about it. So I finally like sat down, I believe it's
Shudder.
Yeah, I think it was Shudder. So I think I watched it there and, the movie's fine. Interesting premise of like, you know, the demon or whatever jumping between bodies, but for a movie that is kind of sold on sex, like there's a number of sex scenes in this. They are very boring sex scenes.
I saw you say that. I don't remember thinking that.
Like they're just like there's nothing. Like there's
you know,
nothing special about them.
What I liked about it is it reminded me of something like a straight to video 90s movie, which is fitting for this episode.
Also fitting for that director, Joe Lynch.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
It's him finishing a project that Stuart Gordon, I believe, wanted to do, who did, you know, he's like the guy that did like Reanimator and From Beyond and stuff like that. And so it's like, if you like Stuart Gordon stuff, if you like the straight to video, like 80s, 90s horror, I think it's a fun time. It's nothing like, it's, you know, nothing amazing or anything. Yeah, but I think what made it work for me is I really like Heather Graham and the fun. I seem to remember she gets like body possessed or something in it, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That was fun. Kind
of the premise of the, like the whole thing is like the patient she is seeing, the demon is like bouncing between him and his father. And then the demon bounces between him and Heather Graham. And then finally between Heather Graham and like her other doctor friend. Interesting in the way they do it.
The fun of her playing this entity that enters a female body for the first time and you know, experiencing that and enjoying it, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought Heather Graham did a good job playing that role, and I thought it was sexy enough. I can't, like, argue with you about the sex scenes because it's been a few months now. I can't remember it too well, but I thought it was like, it's like, it's a movie that's horny. I like that. You don't get that all the time.
Definitely is horny, yes. And I mean, Heather Graham's like 50 years old. She still looks great.
She's still like, pretty. I mean, I just, ever since Boogie Nights, I'm going to have a crush on her. So,
but yeah, like she's not showing anything here. And I think she's the only one that has sex scenes in it. So,
Yeah.
But anyway, like it was enjoyable enough based on that H.P. Lovecraft short story. It works, yeah, and I think as like a direct-to-video type thing, it's perfectly fine.
It totally feels like a 90s direct-to-video. And I don't know, that's in a bad way.
It's perfectly fine.
I like direct-to-video, especially like that era. I mean, shit, we did Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 on here, which is direct-to-video I love. I think I gave that at least a 7, probably, so.
Yeah. And I will say, like, the film itself, like, sex scenes aside, my disappointment with them, like, it ramps up to a fun finale. Like, it with the possession back and forth between the two doctors, it's a good time. Also, very gory scene where, her consciousness bounces back into her patient who is just brutally murdered with her car. So she is, her consciousness is in the dead body and like she's crawling through this hospital. It's like this grisly, like such a trail of blood. She's like missing half of a leg. You know, clearly, like the face is all smashed in because she's been the car's backed into this kid multiple times. It's a fun finale to that film. That's it for kind of what we've been watching. Brings us to our main event: a pair of vampire direct-to-video films from 1991. One is based on, not based on it. One is a long-running series that just got a new entry last year. Subspecies 5. So Subspecies is one, and the other one's Children of the Night. I think we'll start with Subspecies,
sure,
and move on from that because that's how I watch these.
I did opposite way. Just so people know.
Okay.
Also, before we start, can I say that I watch these under suboptimal conditions? For me, I like to watch them at night with a few drinks and not two in a row. And I totally forget. Yeah. So take also, everything I say with a grain of salt, I guess.
Did you end up having to watch Children of the Night with the link I sent, or did you find a better,
version
of it?
There was one other version I saw on YouTube, but it had like weird dubbing with the credits where it would read the names during the credits, and I turned it off immediately. And also the version you had that had the subtitling, it had better sound. So I went with the one that you watched.
Okay. So we'll get to the ridiculousness of that.
It's hard to,
But subspecies.
In the dark past, humans were their prey, and blood was their life.
I'm Radu. Find him before killing begins again.
Now in modern-day Transylvania, eternal evil has reawakened.
I'm afraid for you.
Subspecies, starring Michael Watson and Angus Scrimm of Phantasm. Subspecies, the night has fangs.
1991, directed by Ted Niccolo. And let's see kind of like how to approach this one. As I said, direct to video, all of the films in the series direct to video.
Full Moon features.
Yes. Full Moon, who is kind of known for that. Like that's what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Video shit.
Yeah.
And maybe their most famous series is a Puppet Master, but
yeah.
Yeah, so Subspecies is a vampire film. It follows these three college kids that are they've gone to Romania. They're kind of doing a investigation or some sort of report
research.
On like Romanian culture and superstition and stuff like that in Romania. They meet up with this guy named Stefan. He's kind of like, you know, this suave dude. He's evidently like, he's also a student. He's studying some stuff at night and it's a little weird. He's a
zoologist.
Yes. And like there's a castle nearby, that is like, oh, there's, you know, there is myths about how vampire brothers live there, or vampire king live there, and stay away from there, but also don't mess with the good thing we have here. We've traded off a life of peace to allow the vampires there. We gave them like a special stone called the Bloodstone, and they never have to eat our blood. So don't fuck with them. Like, just leave them alone.
Okay, I missed that because I was like, at the end of the movie, I was like, "What the fuck is this bloodstone? Does it give them extra power?" So you're saying
yes, the bloodstone. They briefly, I know it did,
but like I was like glazed over for a second.
It's like the one interesting kind of piece of this is that the Roman Catholic Church had a stone where they stored the blood of the saints in it. And so it's like a magic stone or something that will satiate them.
They'll keep them satisfied.
Yes. So, and like, it's never ending, right? Cause all the blood of the saints is in this stone somehow. It's like the size of a really big rock, that you can hold in your hand. And yeah, so like the king has it, he was gifted it by the town who had gone, they went to Rome, stole this stone, gave it to him, and were like, hey, just leave us alone. Don't eat us. And he's like, sure, I'm in on that. That king is played by the guy plays
Angus Scrim.
Angus Scrim, yeah.
Yeah, he's the tall man from Phantasm.
Phantasm, which we've talked about. I don't know if on this, but on Movie Dudes, we've definitely talked about Phantasm before.
I think we did a series.
Yeah, we watched all of them, didn't we? So yeah, he is the king. Actually, that's kind of how the movie starts. It should reverse. Movie starts with Angus Scrim, the king, sitting on his throne, and his son Radu shows up. Radu is he does not look normal. Like everybody else in this film looks normal, except this dude who he's has
like a monster vampire. You know, like yeah. There's the normal looking vampires, and there's the
yeah. He has like the long claws, the super big fangs. Like he looks like a monster. He comes. He's been banished, I guess, probably because you know he's a fucking freak. So his dad banished him, and he shows back up. He's like, "What the hell are you doing here?" And he ends up. Radu kills the king, and then that you know fast forwards to whatever. Stefan, the guy they befriend, is secretly the king's other son, so Radu's brother. And yeah, this film is just kind of outside of that. This film is really boring. There's not much going on.
Yeah.
They're one of the girls. She gets Radu. He comes at the middle of the night and he like bites her and infects her as a vampire. And she ends up being sick because, of course, that's how all these vampire movies work. Like she has the vampirism in her. And so. Like she kind of gets taken out and ultimately she gets called to the castle and she ends up there with Radu and you see her like, boob a lot.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like he chains her to a wall and
she's got like a tattered red dress or shirt on and it's tattered just perfectly that her nipples are always showing.
Yes. It's just, it's a perfectly,
I mean, that's like a half star at least right there in its favorite.
Absolute perfect costuming.
The thing that's important, I think, to mention here, though, is by the time this happens, it's like at least a half hour into the movie, where the first half hour is just these girls farting around fucking Transylvania, like doing nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Like it's like, nothing going on.
And up until it's actually I think I time stamped it. It's over half the movie. Before Radu makes like this first attack, where he bites the one girl,
which is like this is an 84-minute movie. You expect it to move,
and yeah, like it does not, but because nothing happens in this movie.
It's, I agree with you. There's a, not to jump ahead, but there's like a scene in a cemetery where there's like this ritual happening, and everyone's dressed like they're from the fucking Wicker Man, and it's like fucking 5 to 10 minutes of like these people fucking dancing in front of the camera, yep, in their costumes. And I honestly was like, okay, they made this scene this long so that they could hit the 80-minute mark. Like that reason I could understand why that scene goes on.
It is so basic and like what it's doing. You don't even really get into the whole like Stefan and Radu like are brothers and they're fighting over control here. Like it's all inferred, but it's not there. It's not told, not shown to you directly.
A lot of lore.
Yeah. Yeah. They do have lore dumps.
I'm confused by it though. Cause like they're brothers, right? And
yes. Well, the different mothers.
They're half brothers. Okay. So like, this fucking sorceress or whatever the fuck married the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a child, and that child was Radu, who was the vampire creature.
Monster guy, yeah.
I forgot what the king did with her. He somehow gets rid of her, right? And he remarries a mortal, like regular woman, right? Yep. And then he has a son, and that is Stefan?
Stefan, yep.
Yeah. And that's like our main guy here. But our main, or like our main good guy there, like he is vampire also, but I don't understand. Like he's like partial vampire, he's like half blood or some fucking bullshit. But I don't get how, because like he doesn't have the mother's blood. Does that confuse you or am I crazy?
No. Well, because he's the king is a vampire too.
The king was?
Yes, the king was a vampire.
Okay, I guess that makes sense then.
Yeah, yeah. So, the sorceress, it gets weird. So the sorceress, who seduces the king, and that's where Radu comes from.
He made him more crazy, like
they created more monsterful than like Jesus anything Christ. That the king would normally have.
All right. It really like it was a sticking point for me because I'm like, why is this guy? He like acts normal throughout it, but like when it goes, the sun's come up. He's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I gotta go back to my.
Which is another weird thing because this film is shot entirely in the daylight.
Yeah.
Even when it's nighttime, there's this scene. The girls are told, hey, like you don't want to be in the cemetery after nightfall, and so they. Like, I don't know why you would go up there anyway. Like, there's no reason to. But they go up and take a nap in the cemetery. And then, like, they all wake up like, oh, shit. Like, we
as you do.
Yeah. Like, exactly. As you would do in a foreign country that you've never been to.
Sleep in a cemetery, you've just
been warned out by the locals to not do such a thing. They immediately go and take a nap in the cemetery. And they oversleep. And they wake up and like, oh, shit. It's nighttime, except it's full daylight. It's the exact same lighting that it was when you fell asleep.
You're right. Not noticed, but you're 100% right.
And Radu is like he's left his crypt and he's like sulking around and he like sees them as they're leaving the cemetery, except it's fucking daylight. What is going on? And another scene, Stefan is like chasing his brother who's going back to his crypt. And he hasn't fed or whatever. And the sun's coming out. And for whatever reason, Stefan's really weak. And again, still daylight out. So it's supposed to be nighttime because they're not supposed to be out. They're going back to their crypt before the sun comes up. And Stefan's like handler shows up with his coffin in a cart and drops him into it. And they're like, now it's daytime. And he can't survive out here. What the fuck is going on? Like, this has no budget at all. There is a scene in the dark where the girls are running through the woods. Like, at least that one is lit dark. I don't know if it actually is dark or not. And they meet Stefan in the woods there. And he's like, you guys got to get back to your place. Like, it's not safe to be out here. He would know because
these girls are like the definition of fuck around and find out too. Like everyone's telling them leave shit alone. They're like, no, we're doing our research. It's like fucking hostile all over again. Like you go to a foreign country, fucking mind your own fucking business and stay where you're told. Don't go fucking wandering around and exploring fucking castles and shit.
Yeah. We're going to go explore this castle. We're going to do all this other shit. We're going to, they told us not to do this. All right, we're going to expressly, the next thing we do is go do this thing they told us not to do.
Yep.
So anyway, Michelle, I think she's one of the girls. She gets, Mara. Michelle is the girl that is kind of like in love with Stefan. Mara or Lillian, the other two, they get turned into vampires. Stefan, for whatever reason, he is now in love with Michelle. I don't know why. Like, they have no relationship. There's nothing that is built up there other than she kissed him once. and, like, this dude's immortal. He could have any girl he wants. Like, well, why is it this one is the one? But they end up in the castle. Radu bites her. So then Stefan like has to he turns Michelle so that, like, with his own blood, so she doesn't become all fucked up like Radu and the other girls. And then they kill Radu, chop off his head. But evidently he's not really dead, because it's like you see these little little claymation creatures Jeff, like come back.
Yeah,
I forgot all about that, because they don't play any meaning to them at all. Once in a while you just see these weird creepy goblin things that are crawling around. It's like stop motion.
Yes.
Which are funny, but
I gotta be honest, my favorite thing about the movie are the little demons, little goblins.
I wish they played a bigger part, like, did anything.
You also want awesome. more mischief. They, like, in close-up, they look like amazing. Like, good. Like, it's really cool animation or stop motion, whatever, that they're doing. But anytime it's, like, a wider shot, where you see them like walking against the background, it looks terrible. Like I don't think they like did it right. I think they like shot those things walking around and superimposed them on on the actual film footage, and it looks like the worst CGI ever, even though it's not. But when you get close-ups of just them, like they said, you know, they like go right in on those things and they look cool.
Cool design.
Like, yeah. They look like a little guy. Like, I remember The Gate, and they had the movie The Gate.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah. Like, they look cool like that, but, like, it's just so cheap, and anytime a wide shot, it looks so bad. But, like, honestly, that was, like, charming to me, because I had nothing else to hang on to with this movie.
It's so bad. Like, and I'm, like, watching, like, how the fuck did this get five more films? Like,
boring. I think that the answer is it's a full moon feature, and they just do. Like, the first Puppet Master is very boring. I haven't seen it in 30 years, but I thought it was very boring when I saw it, and they just kept going. You know, like, fuck it. Well, there's some recognition there. The straight-to-video market and the budgets that they're doing, it doesn't have to, like, be good. It just has to make a little bit of money, and they keep going. And it, like, dude, they do, like, they're, like, on Evil Bong 8. Evil Bong, B-O-N-G, like.
I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Evil Bong. That's what they do. Yeah, yeah, they put out, like, low-budget trash, and then they make a series out of it, no matter what, whether you want it or not. Like, Demonic Mock Toys versus fucking, fuck is the little miniature
man. Isn't Demonic Toys just the Puppet Master?
Yeah, yeah, they do the Demonic Toys as well. Demonic Toys versus there's a Demonic Toys versus something. It's like that was like another movie. Like, they have their own fucking like Avengers thing going. Where it's like, we're gonna wild. Build this all up to like a movie with all of them in it. But that's it. It's like full moon features. They like build the audience for that series, no matter whether it was there to begin with or not. It's just like, okay, well, we're gonna do part. We made $1.50 off the first one. Let's keep going. Like, that's just my theory. But
I mean, you're probably not wrong. And what's crazy about this is, like, so looking at like how this series progresses, I did not watch the rest of them yet. I don't think I will, because
I don't think I'm gonna. I didn't like this one that much.
I do like Anders Hove as Radu. Like, he is in a completely different movie than everybody else. Like, he is just hamming it up. Like, he looks ridiculous. Like, nobody else in this movie has, like, you know, he has like the long vampire claws, and
he's trying. I was gonna say, I thought about that, like the fingers. Like, it's like he's trying to channel Nosferatu a little bit.
Yeah,
but
he looks he looks.
He sort of looks like the Crow, though.
It's a little bit, yeah. The Crow in the daytime, though.
Yeah, it's kind of. I don't love it.
But he's evidently like the. He's the guy for this film. Like, he is the Radu is the main character for the rest of the series. And looking at like the synopsises for it, is like they took like a more. It's still a generic. It's still a very generic vampire story. But I think if they like did it all in this one film, it at least would have been interesting and maybe a little more watchable than what this was, because this one is just absolutely dull.
It's interesting too, because they pumped out the sequels for a few years, and then part five last year, but like literally 20 years after the others. Oh no, wait.
Yeah, yeah. It was
part,
like,
part four was 98.
Yep.
98. Part five is 2023. So
yes, what 25 years in between the last film and this one.
I just didn't like this enough crazy to check. I don't think I'm going to check them out just because I just didn't like this one. Like, again, it could Puppet Master. I'll say this: like, some of the sequels are definitely better than the first one, but like,
what Puppet Master has going for it, at least, is like the designs of the puppets are at least fun.
Yeah,
right. Like, and like they have that stop motion quality to them that like the little demons here have. But like, they're the focus. Like, as you said, like, if the demons were
these demons, the demons I loved them. Of it.
They were the star of this film. Maybe it would be a little more entertaining to watch. But
I don't know why, but I love the demons. They're so stupid looking.
They are stupid looking. But there is, as you said, there's a charm to them that the rest of this film does not have. Like, and I was like, oh, maybe like it's a long running series. Somebody must love it. Like, they made a fifth movie. 25 years later, somebody out there loves it. I'm sure that those people exist. I do not love this. This is a horrible, horrible watch. It was so boring.
I'm with you. You know, maybe Subspecies 3 is where it's at. I don't know. But, like, this movie...
That's the one.
This movie, like, here's the thing. Even if it were, like, better than it is, it has an uphill battle for me, because I don't like the vampire story being set in like the old timey, like Transylvania, old, like
generic Romania, Transylvania.
I like when you take like the horror story and put it in modern America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is just like, it's like telling a classic vampire tale, which I'm just, again, I'm not as into. And also it's low budget trash. You're taking something I don't like, and then you're doing it poorly, and then it's like,
yep.
It's hard for me to latch on to anything except those little demons.
Yeah, there's nothing here. It's super kind of unfortunate that I forced this on us. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Hey, man, I've filled out some of my full moon knowledge with this one.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, right? That's always been one that's like, that's a long running series. I should watch that one. I've filled in that gap. I don't need to watch anymore.
I've heard Subspecies, and I was like, oh, that's like some sort of like cult classic, and maybe it is. I don't know, but like, I didn't know it was Full Moon, and then I saw that. I was like, oh, no, no.
This is gonna go bad real quick. Yeah.
Like, some of their stuff is good, like. I like Castle Freak, which they probably shot this in the same fucking...
Yeah, same castle, just outside
this castle. That, yeah. Yeah. Like, I think Castle Freak is, like, one of their few, like, oh, they, like, kind of knocked it out of the park on this, but not this one. This one, it's so boring, dude. It's so boring.
Did they do the remake of Castle Freak, or just the original?
I don't think they did a remake. I saw the remake. I don't remember it.
It's fine.
I think the original Castle Freak is pretty cool, like, for what it is. But like, yeah, we honestly think they've probably reused it, and it's probably not set. It's probably some castle they found somewhere that they can shoot in. And they're like, "Fuck it, we're gonna shoot a bunch of castle movies."
Yeah, it's like, what do we got? Like,
yeah,
we got this castle for 3 weeks. Like, how much shit can we do here? Yeah, unfortunately, not much to talk about here with this one. It's just not very entertaining. Jeff, what's your final thoughts and ratings on Subspecies?
I kind of said it. Like, it's just, it doesn't, it's boring, and it's doing a classic vampire tale, which I like. I'm not into that. Like, I'm not into the, we're in Transylvania and there's a castle, and then like the fucking lore. Oh, like hundreds of years ago, there was a king, and like all that shit, just not my jam. And it's wrapped in a movie that's boring. It goes nowhere. It doesn't have anything like cool except those little demons.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like so poorly made though to like give it a super low score. So for me, it's like I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I am more like I'm into vampires. I like vampires. I like the lore. I don't mind a classic vampire tale set in, like, you know, Romania, Transylvania area. In fact, like, I think this film has some neat ideas. Like, I think the Bloodstone that they don't really, like, go deep on, I think that's a cool idea. Like, there's this relic that drips the blood of saints, and, like, it satiates the king of the vampires, so they don't have... They don't do anything with it. Just like they don't do anything with the cool little demons. Like,
and there's never any cool kills or anything.
No, that's another, like we get the one scene where Radu bites the one girl, but she's asleep. Like, it's not like a crazy attack. You get him when he kills Angus Scrim. When he kills the king in the first one, where he like stakes him, but that's it. Like, that's, those are the kills. I think another girl dies in this. She turns into a vampire, but I think that might happen off screen. So
it does, you don't even
see it. So like, yeah, it's just, it's devoid of what you kind of want from a horror film, a vampire film. Like, it just doesn't, it's just boring and dull. I'm with you. I'm going to go 4 out of 10 here. All right, so that was Subspecies. Now we're gonna move on to the other choice of the month, Children of the Night.
They are the sons of evil. They are the daughters of darkness. They were born when hell began to burn. In the classic tradition of Nosferatu and Dracula comes a terrifying story of the undead and the innocent souls they must seduce to survive.
But the only way to help them is to find the source of the vampires.
We are their prey. Is their lord. They are his children. Children of the Night.
Also a 1991 direct to video vampire film. This one starring Peter DeLuise. Some people will know his dad, Dom DeLuise.
Oh shit.
yeah.
Okay.
Peter was also, he starred alongside Johnny Depp in 21 Jump Street back in the '80s. The DeLuises are pretty famous. Like, you know, his other brother is, I believe, an actor along the way as well. He's played in stuff like Sequest and Stargate and stuff like that.
So this was an actor you were familiar with?
Yeah, I know who he is. Like, I did not know he was in this when I picked this movie out. I kind of was just like, what do I pair with Subspecies? Oh, here's another, 1991 straight to video vampire film that people seem to like.
Yeah. I want to know how you found this, because I looked at Letterboxd, they had like 40 reviews. So I was like, where did Chris hear of this movie?
So like, sometimes when I'm like looking for a match, I just go like, show me films like this film. So okay. Like I did that. And there's a bunch of like taste sites that will be like, hey, you know, if you like subspecies, yeah. If you like this, you know, you might want to watch this film or this film. And like Children of the Night was like in the top five on all of those sites. Like I had never heard of it before. Which, whatever. Not really. Neither here also, nor there.
Karen Black is the crazy vampire in this. She's the mom from Rob Zombie movies, like the House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew Karen Black's name, but I did not realize.
That was her. Yeah.
Neat. Yeah. So like they're the two big, like they're the two big people, I guess, in this film.
They're not the MVPs though. There's one MVP.
Are we talking about Garrett Morris?
Of course we're talking about yeah. Garrett Morris. He makes the movie, man.
He's phenomenal. We will get to him. this is a weird film. but I think way more fun than the last one. I hope that you had fun with it at least.
Spoilers, I agree. I agree with you. I actually do agree with you on this. And I have a feeling we're gonna fall the same on these movies.
It's a clownish film. Also, again, weird plot. Like Peter DeLuise gets called in to, like, you know, he meets up with his friend who's like, got to show you something, and he goes into this long spiel. His friend's a priest, and he goes into this whole long spiel about how he cheated on God with his brother's wife. And mm-hmm. It seems like maybe also the daughter of his brother is his daughter, not his brother's daughter. That he got her pregnant, and like the daughter is his.
I will say I found like the whole plot a little confusing, because I was like, how does this priest, like, all right, this priest has two girls like locked up, but yes. Somehow they know the girl. Like the girls that we meet at the beginning of this film who go do this weird ritual.
Yes.
I was confused by that. Cause honestly, for like a little bit, I thought like the girls he had locked up, like one of them was, or maybe one of them was one
so
of them.
Yes. I can't figure it out. The way the movie starts is these two girls are swimming. I don't know why. They're swimming in the catacombs of a church crypt.
They're all right. I'll explain this, because this part I got, and it like landed home for me, because they are going off to college. They're like moving out of this small town or whatever where they're from, and they are going down. Now this is like, it's crazy, but like for whatever reason, they think if they go down this church's crypt that is mm-hmm. flooded, that they could like wash the dirt of their town off them so that they won't be drawn back to it. And it was just very funny to me, because a joke we have around here, we have a river in this city called the Kishwaukee River.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke that me and my friends always say is like, once the Kishwaukee River touches you, you can't leave. So like, I don't know, there was something about that that were like, now granted, that's them swimming in this water going like, this is how we can wash ourselves. It's just like a cool, like, somehow we have to wash this town off us. But again,
small town type.
Yeah. But it is it's just set up of these two girls are doing like, you know, crazy thing that's like kids do, like, oh, we're playing with the Ouija board type, you know what I mean? Like, that's all it is. I got it. That like landed and made sense. But when they cut to this other, they like, oh, river something town, fucking like 30 miles south or whatever.
Yes.
And they're like, there's this priest and he has these vampires locked up. I'm like, how do they connect to what these girls? Like, I was like very confused. So does he have one of the girls or no?
I'm trying to see.
He has a blonde girl there. And then there's like the monster one that's played by Karen Black.
So, okay. Yes. So the girl that gets bit in the crypt, Cindy, is the daughter of Karen, the mom vampire.
Yeah.
That is locked in the attic. So Cindy and Karen are locked in the attic. I guess Cindy escapes. She goes home.
Okay. Lucy's friend is one of the girls in the attic. Like, yeah. I wasn't wrong. Okay. I just found it confusing. I don't know if you did also, but
I did like, too. Okay. Because they keep, it's not, they keep going well back explained. To the priest. They introduce Mark, Peter DeLuise's character. He's just a school teacher. He's a friend of the priest. He went to seminary school, but was like, I like girls. I like sex.
Yeah.
This priest thing ain't for me.
Shame.
So, like, I had to leave. I had to leave the church, and I just became a school teacher. And so his friend, Father Frank, calls him in and is like, hey, got to show you something. I got a pair of vampires in the attic. And then he's like, you need to go to this small town and like help them out because like, you know, there's this girl, and I think she might be in danger and you got to go save her. Not sure why he needs to be the one to do it, but
yeah, sends them off. Somebody knows, friend, but like he is of like the priest here is of the belief that there's like a lead vampire in that town, and if they're killed, then of course like the regular people will return, including the girls he's got in his attic or whatever.
Yes,
right. Okay, just trying to get my bearings because I was a little lost. Now, granted, I was like. Again, I'm like rushing this afternoon as I was doing a billion things. I was like folding laundry, and I was like, "Did I miss something here? What the fuck is going on?"
Well, additionally, this movie was available to watch on streaming services when I picked it. I believe it was on Tubi. At some point in between when I picked it and we watched it in the last 2 days, it disappeared off of there. So when I went to go watch it, it was not around. I ended up having to find it on YouTube.
You cannot rent it.
Yeah, I tried to rent it. It's not available. Like YouTube was where I found it.
And just for the record, there are a million Children of the Night movies. We're talking about the 1991 one, which you can watch on YouTube, I guess.
Yeah, produced by Fangoria Films.
Yeah.
Starring Peter DeLuise and Karen Black. Yes, there are a bunch of other Children of the Night movies.
I almost rented the wrong one. I was like, no, this ain't right.
Yeah, so there's one from 1994 or something like that that's in Spanish or like is like there's, takes place there's in Mexico or something like that. There's one very recently also called Children of the Night. Also, I think a vampire movie. But not this. This is the one we're looking for. Very hard to find.
This is what you want. It's like impossible to watch. I can't believe this doesn't have like a Vinegar Syndrome release at this point. We'll get into why I think that soon. But like, I'm kind of surprised that this is not cult status.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the plot here. Mark goes off to help Lucy. He tracks her down, goes to her grandmom's house. Her grandma's, she's fine. She's not here right now, but she's fine. And turns out that her grandmom is a vampire. She has locked Lucy in the closet and had incapacitated her. Mark frees her. They think they kill the grandmom. They
Which, by the way, I think with a golf club to the head...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I saw you kill vampire, but okay.
More fun than anything that happened in Subspecies this entire scene with her attacking, like it's goofy, kind of over the top. And then Peter DeLuise and this teenage girl, they leave, they escape in the car. And he's like speeding away because he's like, what the fuck is going on? And they get pulled over by a cop. I thought this was a funny scene because he's like trying not to act weird, but he's like, yeah, we're just like, you know, out for a ride, me and my girlfriend. Like, dude, you look like you're 40 years old.
The cop says it at some point. She's like, date someone your age.
That's hysterical.
And she specifically says that the girl's a minor, and she's like, just, you know, I'm going to take her and take her home. You just date someone your age. Like, hey, dude, if you think he's, like, fucking some fucking minor, like, isn't that like a crime? I don't know. Right. It's 1991.
She's like, you need to, I'm going to take her back to her grandmom's. You need to drive that car that way and do not turn around.
And by the way, the whole time I kept expecting the cop to be a vampire, which she does become eventually.
Yes.
But
she's not at that time.
At that time, she's not, I don't think. No, she's just like, she's super goofy. And we should mention this, like, her performance is super, super goofy and over the top. And it's like, that's kind of like, everyone in this is doing that.
Yep, yep. Officer Gates, Josetta DiCarlo. She is like, everybody is in their own movie here and just like hamming it up. And like, she's delivering lines that are just absurd. Like, she's going into life story to this teenage girl about how her husband's shithead. And like, he's a country bumpkin and she just wants to go back to the city. This fucking town sucks. And then she like drops this girl off back at her grandma's. Is like, hey, yeah, here she is. Like, yep. Like, the girl's like, you cannot leave me with this woman. She's bad. Please don't do this. Get the fuck inside. And she gets attacked by like somebody off screen. Like, we see her get hit in the head with something, but that's like the end of her until she becomes a vampire. For whatever reason, Mark ends up turning back around, going back to save Lucy. He dives through the window. It's absolutely absurd. And that this is, well, I guess not right away when we meet up with Maddie, Garrett Marsh's character. This little kid is like, hey, you know, they took the officer to this place, and basically he like sends Lucy and Mark to it's a trap. Like, he sends them to like a place where the vampires are gathering, and they've already turned the officer, and they're going to try and, you know, take Lucy and Mark as well. And that's when they get saved by Maddie, Garrett Marsh's character, and shit gets absurd from there. He has some of the lore. He like does a lore dump.
Oh god, yeah.
Pretty absurd though on his end, because it's just goofily like, just it's transmitted to us in like the weirdest way possible. Like, he knows everything, but also is a drunk, and you're like, I don't know if I can believe you, but you're entertaining to watch on screen.
Yeah. But when they first, like, he takes them like this warehouse or whatever where they're gonna hide out. He's like, I do all my best thinking at night. You know, I'm a night person. You know, I'm like, same, brother.
It's like, I'm, but maybe, like we're in a vampire film. Like, you kind of seem like you might also be a vampire. You're taking these people to a secluded place. They don't really trust you.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
It's kind of funny.
But I kind of laughed where he's like, I'm a night person. I come alive at night. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, me too, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. He's like my hero in this movie. By the way, the little kid that is like not a vampire.
Yeah.
Right?
The familiar.
He is, yeah. Yeah, he's like kind of like controlled by them or like a servant of them.
Yep.
He gets fucking staked by this. Like, hell yeah. Fucking kill that little fucking shit.
Oh, yes, this film has way more, has way more kills than Subspecies did. And they're entertaining, too. Like, they're stupid. Yeah. They're absolutely stupid, but...
It's bad and it's stupid, but I was like... Yeah. I was not bored. I got bored, kind of, because it is, like, low-budget, cheap, total garbage, but, like... There's something to this. So, anyways, go ahead.
So, somebody's having fun.
Yeah.
Like, somebody had fun with, like, the script, and they got people to just buy into the ridiculousness of it.
things happen.
Yes. Which is there's a major, things, major thing yeah. here that puts it above.
Improvement. Yeah.
Ultimately, like, Lucy gets a kind of, she gets taken into a church, which is weird. Like, it's, I thought it was a church. Maybe it wasn't a church. I'm not sure. But anyway, like, she gets taken in, like, the big vampire is going to come. And this is where Maddie and his truck with a giant glowing cross on it. He's just driving through town, mowing vampires down. He ends up flying through the door and saving both Lucy and Mark. And I guess
straight to the end. He impales the fucking vampire. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, when he impales a vampire with his car.
That's a star. That's a star right there. Like that bumps this movie up by like 1 point. Dude drives a fucking giant creeper van with a fucking cross. Bumper. Sticking out of it and impales a fucking vampire with this giant cross. Also, when they're driving to all this shit, dude, I fucking died laughing. They're driving to this shit, and he's driving, drinking. He's like swinging on a bottle. Yeah, yep. Arthur looks at him. He's like, "What does he say?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Dude, do you realize what we're trying to do here?" He's like, "I'm right there with you. I'm just trying to loosen up for vampire combat." There's so many funny, stupid lines like that from him.
Yeah, every time he opens his mouth, it's near perfect.
It's gold. Gold. It's like B-movie gold. Like, this guy knows exactly what he's doing. They knew exactly, like, who they, like, what they're, like, it's just perfect. It's a perfect B-movie guy. Like, the drunk guy that's going to save the day.
I think Peter DeLuise is cast nearly perfectly as
he's like good too. Here, yeah,
because he's playing it as straight as possible, but he is just a goofy looking dude. Like, so it's not really believable.
Well, it's like what's awesome about this movie is like it has a sense of humor. Like it is not taking itself seriously. It is purposely putting in funny things. But it knows the way to do that is to play it straight, to play it as this is 100% serious. The stakes are as high as could be. Like, it's not winking at you ever. It's just like someone says something stupid. You're like, that's fucking funny. But you know, like, the movie was in on that. They know, like, the movie is aware of that. Also, when he's fighting the dude in the big church, he goes, "Let her go, you big, dumb, ugly fuck."
Yes. Great line. I guess what we kind of like have forgotten about the priest and his two vampires. They're stuck in his attic because they're kind of inconsequential to everything going on. But the daughter vampire stakes her mom. I did think some of that stuff was interesting, though, that like each vampire goes to sleep in a different way. So like the girl because she was because she was bit in the water, so like and ultimately she would have drowned there. Like her crypt is a bathtub full of water. Her mom, for whatever reason, creates a cocoon around herself, like super gross looking. Some like interesting ideas.
There's something weird about their lungs. There's something weird about their lungs, where like some of them are, like had their lungs out
because
they couldn't work on the inside of their body. Like some kind of interesting ideas at least there.
Yeah, it's not. It's trying to do something different as opposed to like just great vampire shit. Even though none of it matters because it's a goofy film.
It's garbage, but it is. There's something I don't know, man. There's
garbage. This is a fun B movie. Like this is. I mean, we have a friend Earl that watches like shitty B movies. This is one that I would suggest to him. Like you should watch this on a Friday night.
I would recommend it to him. I'd recommend it to anyone that's a fan of The Last Drive-In. This is something Joe Bob would show on The Last Drive-In. It is that bad, but also there's just enough to it. I guess.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah, it moves.
Things happen. I think, like you said, like Like, there's maybe a couple bits where it's like, all right, just get moving on it. Like, it's
when they get to the warehouse and he does the expedition, you know, the dump. Yeah. It is a little like, all right, it slows down for 5 minutes, but like for the most part, it kind of moves.
Yeah, like outside of that, like it's you're moving from, you know, from set piece to set piece. So outside of the start where it's just like, this is really weird that this priest is like calling, is calling this teacher in to go save somebody in a town over, but because they're vampires, like that's not even believable. But yeah, it's a fun time. I think that's what worked here for me. It was fun. I enjoyed watching it, even though it was like the worst possible way of watching this movie.
Yeah, it sucks. I really feel like this deserves some sort of restoration from somebody. A couple things that near the end I want to touch on. When after he like impales him with his fucking church or, you know, cross van.
Yep.
Or whatever, he like falls out of it and he goes, I think my drinking days have come to an abrupt conclusion. What the funny?
Well, next time we see him, he's like all dressed up. He has a suit on. And he's this respectable dude.
Yep.
And like, I guess prior to that, he was the town drunk. Like, it's really weird.
Hey, he cleans up nice. at the end, they're like looking over the town and everything's like all peaceful and everything. And the mailman waving at them was super weird. I kind of kick out of nowhere. He's like holding a letter in his hand. This is awkward wave at them.
That's kind of it, right?
Like,
I thought the doctor too was funny because, like, at the end of the movie, they kill the big vampire, and then as suspected, like all the other vampires change back into humans, but a bunch of them have been staked. So like they come back to life for whatever reason, but and they don't remember anything either. Like their minds have been wiped of this experience. And this doctor's like, it's been a crazy day. He's covered in blood. He's talking to the mayor on the side of the street. He's like, everyone keeps coming in. They have splinters in their chest. It's like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, I had a good time with this one. And yeah, as we kind of alluded to, we watched it on YouTube. Not the best transfer of a film ever. It looks like they took like a VHS copy of it, which makes sense. It was direct to video.
Yeah.
And just uploaded it, but it was the Greek version.
Yeah.
Subtitles.
It has that old aspect ratio and all that. That said, like, I don't know, man. Like, at first I was like, what the fuck? This is going into this, I thought Subspecies was gonna be the one I loved.
Yeah.
Or liked, and this was gonna be like, where the fuck did Chris find this? And honestly, I'm kind of like, where the fuck did Chris find this? Because I'm like, this is kind of fun. A surprise. It's kind of a surprise. Like, at the end of the day, it has enough things going on.
Yes, agreed. I honestly cannot tell you where I found it. Just one of those things. Like, what do I pair with this series that I've been meaning to watch for a while? What do I pair with it? And it ended up being that movie that like the internet suggested to pair with it is the better film, is the more fun film. And I do kind of wish there was a way to, you know, have a better version of this film, because
yeah,
I could see myself like sitting down with some friends like and
yeah, see how stupid this is. Like it's a fun stupid time. Like,
watch this dumb movie. You remember Dom DeLuise? You remember his kid that was in 21 Jump Street? Like, I got a movie for you. and yeah, restoration with some better lighting. And actually, I didn't think the sound was awful.
Just fix, you know, do what you can with it. Like it could look better than this. This is a VHS rip,
yeah. Most likely. Other thing, before we get into kind of final thoughts, I thought the vampire design here was pretty decent. Like they all looked a little bit different.
I don't know if you caught this, dude. It's K&B effects.
Oh, really?
Yes, dude, this is so these are the people that did like The Walking Dead, Greg Nicotero, and you know, very famous makeup artists and stuff now.
Yeah,
this was in the early days, and they had done bigger stuff than this. Like, I think they got started on Creepshow 2, I want to say. And this is them. So I noticed that right in the opening credits. I was like, well, at least I have fucking K-beat effects, and you can see that in the monster. There's vampire effects that happen. Like, the effects are actually good. So I was like, I knew I was in good hands when I saw that, but I was also like, man, how the fuck did they? Well, they're just starting off.
It's great. Like, I thought that stuff was really well done. So, props to them early
now
on.
You know why. Now you know why. Yeah.
Makes sense. Cause like, when you look at, you look at the cover for this movie, when you kind of like, you look at the cast for it, it's like, this is not top notch. Like, this looks like it's going to be a generic vampire movie. And it is, but as we said, like, it's fun. There's something to it. So,
yeah.
Final thoughts, Jeff? Rating?
When you like look at a movie like this, or like the movies that we're doing this week, and you're looking at straight to video stuff, you're looking for something interesting, something that stands out that could make it a cult classic and could make it stick around longer than it has. And I honestly, like, some not have that, even though it has stuck around for many sequels. Yes. Children of Night does. Children of Night has one, the K&B effects, which if you're interested in effects and you know them, obviously you want to see this. The movie's like very silly, but it plays everything straight, which makes it funnier. It's perfectly fine, like straight to video movie from that video store era. Like, it's one of those movies you find on a shelf, and it's like, I found a gem. And I'm kind of surprised that you found this gem, because like, I don't think other people have found this yet. Like, you show this to enough people. If Joe Bob showed this people, this shit is getting a fucking Vinegar Syndrome release. Like, there's tons of bad acting in it, but fun bad acting because it's funny. They say funny lines.
Yes.
Like, I had, like, honestly, dude, like the preacher, or not the drunk guy, or whatever, once they hook up with him, you're going to be having a good time. Like, so, hour and a half movie, once you get about maybe 30 minutes in, it is a lot of like fun for what it is. Rating. I'll go like a 5.5.
Okay. Yes, similar to you. I think if you can get past the maybe a little bit too slow intro. And once you get to Lucy's house, when he meets up with the grandmom who's the vampire, and that reveal happens, from there it kind of just takes off. It's nonstop stupidity from there on out, and I think it's a good time. For the most part, I enjoyed it. I was honestly super surprised. I think I went in the same expectations you did.
Mm-hmm.
Subspecies, you know, cult classic for whatever reason. Like, this, that's gonna be the one I like. This is just the extra movie we have for this month.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, this is fun. This was a fun movie. I had a good time with it. I hope maybe somebody like Joe Bob does pick it up and you know, helps get it restored in some way.
Yeah, it's so hard to watch right now.
Which is crazy, because a month ago it was available to watch. I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody bought up the rights to it. And
those rights always are moving around.
Yeah, and maybe somebody's working on a re-release and we're going to get one. But not right now, so you'd probably have to like, you search on YouTube. It's also, I did find a copy on the Internet Movie Database. Not Internet Movie Database, the Internet Archive, which is like a online library. There's a copy up there. I can't speak to its quality, but it's there.
Oh, the same.
Yeah, a good fun time. I am going to go 6 out of 10 here. I enjoyed it. I would watch this again with friends.
If you're looking for that straight-to-video 90s horror, this fits the bill, and it has some treats for you.
And I think that puts us at Children of the Night as our pick here over Subspecies.
I did not do a poll because nobody has seen this movie, so I was like, what?
People are going to pick Subspecies, and...
Yeah, exactly, nice. Yeah. And I have, nice find, dude. Like, again, nothing amazing, but it's a nice find.
I am quite happy with this one. What do we have for next month, Jeff? It's your choices.
Chris, you've been vampires all year.
I have. I don't know how long I can continue that, but
I'm gonna take us to two Frankenstein movies.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna do Frankenhooker from 1990.
Okay.
And we're gonna do Poor Things from 2023.
All right. So you went where when you said we're going to do Frankenstein, I was like, oh, shit, maybe we're doing Poor Things. When you started out with Frankenhooker, I was like, I don't know where he's going with this.
Have you seen them both?
I have not.
I've seen these both. When you see them both, you will get it. They're basically the same movie.
All right, one is an
Oscar-winning film
where the lead actress won Best Actress, but
the other is Frankenhooker by Frankenhooker, who gave us Basket Case and
Poor Things is available on Hulu currently. Where can we find Frankenhooker?
Usually, it is on Shudder. And then it's not on Shudder. It is usually widely available.
Okay.
So, it's like not in terms of like, you could, at the very least, you could rent it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's on Tubi. It's on Pluto. It's on Fandango.
So it's out there.
Yeah, Frankenhooker is not hard to find. Just spoilers. I've seen both these movies. I think they're fun, and I think it'll be a fun episode. I don't know how you will feel about both of them, especially Poor Things, but I'll just, spoilers right up front, I find Poor Things to be very, very funny.
I do love Emma Stone, so at the very least it has that.
Oh, then you gotta see it. And, well, you're gonna see it, but... Yeah, dude, I was dying laughing at Poor Things. I'm kind of excited to watch it again, even though I just saw it a few weeks ago. I was like, we're doing a Frankenstein episode. That's it.
I mean, I have been cursing you with vampires the last two, so.
That's true. Hey, but at least you're keeping us true to our roots and doing pure horror. These are more horror comedy. And in case of like Poor Things, it's definitely more comedy with horror elements.
All right. Well, interested to watch.
I hope you enjoy.
Good to see Poor Things. So.
Yeah. I hope you enjoy it. I like kind of love it.
Okay. Good. We'll be back next month with Frankenhooker and Poor Things. Get ready, guys.